Evenings with Christine Arnoux.
When I think of the movers and shakers of the art world, I imagine women dressed in their little LBDs, short, dark bob haircuts and deep, intimidating voices. I mean, that's certainly the stereotype, well, at least in my mind. So tonight I'm getting a reality check on what these people actually do, what curators do, who bring together their own taste and their own political views to an audience, to be precise. What an amazing job. You have to decide what art is seen, what should be seen, and what you think needs to be seen. A new book looks at the life and work of one of Australia's most significant curators from the 1970s, a woman by the name of Kiffy Rubbo. Helen Hughes and Janine Burke, thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you very much.
When people think of Australian art, it's often people like Brett Whiteley or Margaret Olley. Those paintings that we saw in the big galleries on school excursions, you know, if you're not an artist, you don't tend to know much about the people that were behind the scenes of the art world, the ones that were putting all of that artwork together for us to see, do we?
Absolutely not. And I think the important thing about the book is that in reference to, you know, going to galleries and seeing works by major artists, I mean, those artists had to start out somewhere. They had to have their first exhibitions. They had to find curators who were going to believe in their work when they were quite young artists. And this is one of the extraordinary things that Kiffy Rubbo was so good at back in the 1970s. And that was, I guess you'd call it talent spotting.
Yeah, but I was about to say, because in my world of the music world, it's or even in sport, it's you're scouting, you're, and you are talent spotting indeed.
And Kiffy was also in a different type of art world to the one you were describing that you might visit as a school kid.
Oh,
on an
please
excursion.
Tell us about it.
Well, just to say that you know, Brett Whiteley kind of makes paintings that are on the wall forever in the National Gallery, but Kiffy was really interested in working with artists and artworks like who made a performance as an artwork or made a small installation that would then disappear at the end of the day, like very temporary, transient, ephemeral artwork. So it was a kind of a completely different paradigm for art, one that was really based in experimental attitudes and approaches.
Was that happening in the 1970s?
Oh, absolutely. And Kiffy was somebody who was charting that. And another area that's also important in relation to Kiffy's work is that she was a committed feminist. And so she was very interested in looking at the work of women artists and seeing that there were blanks and absences in Australian art and seeing that women were adequately represented.
So more about Kiffy Rubbo. Why should we know about her life? Why don't we know about her life?
Well, I hope the book is going to go partway to solving that. She was, I guess she was quite a private person in some ways. She was very involved in the art world in having, you know, an amazing range of art showing at the gallery where she worked, the George Payton Gallery at the University of Melbourne, and setting up art shows of all kinds, of the sort that Helen mentioned as well, performances or films or a whole range of works by different artists. It was a kind of a hub, a centre. It drew young artists and curators and critics and historians around her.
I mean, and you describe her as being, you know, a quiet person. You know, you'd have to have a specific personality type to be allowed into someone's world that is creating the types of work that Kiffy wanted to represent.
Well, I think, yeah, her personality was very, it was exuberant and strong, but she was somebody who was very humble. And so when she was dealing with artists, she showed a great deal of humility in listening to what their ideas were. Mm. And this was why they were so grateful for her attention, because she created this very sort of nurturing environment where they felt their work was being appreciated.
And I suppose you could also say that perhaps her humbleness may have been an expression of her feminist politics, because I guess in the 1970s this was a time when feminists were kind of actively working against the kind of male stereotype of like an individual artist genius, and instead looking for ways to work collectively together and distribute genius across a whole, you know, collaborative union of women artists and curators and makers. So Kiffy may have been kind of in line with that politics.
Now, the Ewing Gallery. Tell us about the Ewing Gallery and why it was such an important place for our artists.
Well, the Ewing and George Payton Gallery was really just an addition to the Rhodan White Library in the Student Union at Melbourne University. And Kiffy got the job of running the Rhodan White Library, and then she, with her imagination and her desire to create something important and open for students to look at about contemporary art, she turned the gallery, which was kind of a pretty unknown, anonymous sort of place, into a place where everybody wanted to be. Everybody saw the shows that were on. They knew too that because of Kiffy's personality, they could just walk in there and directly start talking to her. She didn't lock herself away in her office. Mm. She was sitting at her desk in the actual gallery, engaging with and interacting with people all day long.
These creative spaces are all around now, aren't they? I mean, are they the same? And was she the person who, I guess, birthed the idea of this kind of a creative spaces that we seem to be getting, we're more used to, I guess, around us right now?
You could definitely say that she pioneered it in a sense. I mean, even the word curator, which is this term that we sort of almost retrospectively apply to her, was new in the 1970s, or it had took on a new valence. Like these days, the kinds of art spaces that Kiffy was running in the 1970s have become much more professionalised, and as a student you can do an undergraduate degree or a postgraduate degree in curatorial practice. But Kiffy would have really been, you know, inventing that job for the first time and inventing that kind of space and that kind of community.
And she actually did that very thing for me, Christine, because I was an undergraduate student studying art history and very disappointed in my course because it didn't involve contemporary art. Women artists were never mentioned. And Kiffy and I put our heads together and had what was probably Australia's first feminist art show back in 1974, because she was really open to these ideas as well and just so immensely encouraging. And somebody who I guess we didn't use the word mentor back in those days, but I guess I'd use the word mentor now about her in relation to my own career.
It makes me think about the difference between a curator or a good curator and an artist. Are they the same thing? Do you have to have an artistic background to be a good curator?
Well, Kiffy did, and in some ways she came from an artistic family, but she didn't study art history. She really relied, I think, on her own gut instincts and her own intuition and this wonderful kind of respect and admiration that she had for artists. And I think that's how, I'm sure Helen would agree with me, the contemporary curators work as well.
Yeah,
It just sort of sounds like build it and they will come.
Possibly. So, well, you hope so, yeah.
Mm. I'm sorry, Helen, I interrupted you.
Can't remember what I was going to say. I was just going to say, actually, like, I think what you can tell from reading the book and learning about Kiffy is that what made her a good curator was actually not being too much of a princess and just always rolling up her sleeves and getting stuff done, which is some of the newer generation of curators kind of go, I only want to write a thesis about this artist, or I only want to work on the glamorous side. But she was really happy to just do whatever it took to get an exhibition up, whether it meant staying up all night or, you know, sweeping the floors. She didn't seem to be a princess at all.
Mm. Well, tell us about the art scene in Australia at that time. We talked about 1974. I mean, this is when the feminist movement was very strong and very much on the rise. I mean, who were the big names that were breaking out at that time?
Well, many of the artists who are still around today, like Elizabeth Gower and Jenny Watson, you know, they had exhibitions and were also involved with the Ewing and George Payton Gallery and with Kiffy. Kiffy was, you know, again, a word that wasn't around back then. You know, Kiffy was a great networker and an extremely social person. She was always open, you know, opened her house, opened the gallery, opened her heart to many of the things that were going on. She created a home for the women's art movement, but she told the artists she wasn't going to run it. It was up to the artists to run it themselves, but she would be there to assist in whatever way she could. So she knew when to get involved, as Helen said, and roll her sleeves up. And she also knew when to quietly stand back and let the artists work it out in whatever way that they were going to do so themselves. She was certainly not dictatorial, but she had plenty of what contemporary term, we would call leadership qualities.
But was Australian art in the middle of a revolution, so to speak?
Well, yes, it was. I mean, probably one of the most exciting things that were happening at that particular time was the women's art movement and this amazing kind of push by women into the art scene. There were historical shows looking back at all the great Australian women artists. There were contemporary exhibitions. Young women were involved in creating their own spaces. So that was one of the key elements of the 1970s.
And I guess that the 1970s were following on the heel of the late 1960s, where the biggest art movement, and this is not just in Australia but around the world, was the movement of conceptual art and this notion that an idea can be an artwork. You don't have to have a painting or a sculpture or even an object, just a simple idea could be an artwork. So by the time the 1970s rolled around, there was an extreme plurality of practices possible all of a sudden that weren't, you know, at the beginning of the previous decade.
Mm. Well, the book that you've put together, it's a collection of interviews, accounts and stories of people who met Kiffey, who worked with Kiffey and who were in her life. So why write the book that way? Because it's an interesting way to put it together. It's almost like you've curated it.
Yeah, we did. That's very true. Well, it started off as a conference that I organised at the University of Melbourne, and we had such fantastic papers that were given on the day, from, you know, photography to performance art, conceptual, just like this amazing range, with everybody paying the deepest kind of tribute to Kiffey and to her assistant director, Meredith Rogers, that we just decided it was important to turn all of that into a book. Mm. And part of the reason that Kiffey may not have been well known is because Kiffey committed suicide in 1980. And so that's, I think, created an aura of sadness around her that has made people maybe a bit unwilling to kind of investigate her legacy.
There are letters in there from Kiffey to her brother.
Correct.
Tell us about those. Does she... Is there anything in those letters that sort of, I don't know, gives us an idea of where she was before she committed suicide?
She suffered from depression, and I'm afraid, as we know now, even more and more as it comes out, depression is a terrible illness and people often don't seek the right assistance for it, and unfortunately I don't think that she did. There were a lot of changes in her life that left her rather disappointed, and she just unfortunately went into a very deep and dark place, which is referred to in some of the later letters.
Mm. Are there Kiffey Rubo running around? Do you think there are Kiffey Rubos, you know, running around our art scene nowadays?
Yes, one of them is sitting opposite me. Her name's Helen Hughes.
Awesome, Helen. You know, like, is that mentorship role, I guess, that she had, is that something that is nurtured in this sort of art scene of ours here in Australia?
I definitely say so, and it actually happens a lot between sort of the women in my life and in around the artistic community. You often see this intergenerational mentoring in the same sense of my relationship with Janine, and perhaps Janine's to Kiffey in turn. It's definitely very strong today.
Janine Burke and Helen Hughes, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. The book is called Kiffey Rubo, Curating the 70s. I'm Christine Arnoux, and you're listening to ABC Local Radio.
Evenings with Christine Arnoux.
On 702 ABC Sydney, 666 ABC Canberra and ABC New South Wales.